And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and I'm inviting you this program today to bring on the clowns. The circus is in town. Oh, I used to get excited as a young boy when the circus came to town. Oh, my goodness. Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, but they were smaller circuses when I was a little boy, and I would go there and have something to drink and popcorn, and oh, my goodness, boy, weren't they great? The elephants and the horses and the little poodle dogs jumping up and down through the hoops and the clowns. Oh, yes, the clowns. They were best of all. But you don't have to go to pay Ringling Brothers any money at all. Why, your local church probably has a clowns convention this very weekend. What am I talking about? Well, today we're going to examine the clowns inside the church. Boy, I'm telling you, friends, there's more clowns in the church than out of the church. Now, I'm serious about this. If you don't believe it, well, I have a picture here in front of me of a Methodist pastor, Jim Lavender, riding an elephant during an outdoor church service. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I'm telling you the truth. This is from Christian News, June 30, 2008, page 23. Yeah, the pastor, he comes in with his robes and all, and he has his arms outstretched, and he's riding an elephant. But that's not all. There's Lutheran pastor Rick Hartman of Melbourne, Florida. He calls himself Ricardo the Clown. Now, I know you think I'm kidding you, but no. Take this seriously because it's truthful. Now, he comes to his church there in Florida dressed like a clown, and he actually leads communion. And he says, well, you know, let me explain the word meaning of clown. He's done a big word study of the meaning of the very word clown, C-L-O-W-N. He said, basically, if God can use a clod of dirt to make man, then he can use a circus clown to do good. Well, okay. Now, this pastor, Rick Hartman, also known as Ricardo the Clown, claims that the New Testament says we are supposed to be servants. And according to Ricardo the Clown, this pastor, he says the word for servant, if you'll go back and study the Greek, means clown. So when God told us to be servants, he meant that we were to be clowns. Well, so friend, next Sunday, dress up like Bozo, get you a fake nose, painted red, some silly costume and big cartoonish shoes, oversized, of course, and billowing pants and shirt, and put on makeup of a outrageous nature on your face. Actually, some women already do that from what I've seen at church services. But you can do better than just what women normally do. You can look like Ricardo the Clown. Put on face paint. Honk horns during worship. That's what Pastor Ricardo the Clown says. Then he goes on, carries it a little further. He says the Bible also says we are to be fools for Christ. He's just carrying out what the Bible says. He's a servant, a clown. He's a fool for Christ. Oh, my. Well, now that's Methodist Church. That's Lutheran Church. Let's move over to the Episcopalian church. Oh, they got the clowns there too. Oh man, don't forget the Episcopalians. I mean, every church got to have its clowns. In New York City, at a big Episcopalian church, Episcopalian priests all got together and had a big joint service, a clown service. It was called the Clown Communion. You know, we're talking about something pretty serious here when we're talking about communion. Jesus gave his precious blood for us on the cross. Now we're going to make fun. Now we're going to mock God with a clown communion service in New York City. One of the clowns was named Wiggles. Wiggles, the clown. Giving out communion. You know, for some reason, I just don't think that that's too funny. I just don't see much humor in mocking the communion, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. Well, there are other miracles that occurred. Water was turned to wine by Jesus Christ in one incredible miracle. And here's another church I found. I mean, these churches are just coming out of the woodwork. Friends, they don't have anything serious to say nowadays, so the clowns are here. The circus, the big tent has arrived. In Wisconsin at the Chapel of the Chimes, Pastor Del Radke comes to work ready for worship as a magician. Yeah, now we got the clowns, we got to have the magicians too. He says, well, I can't turn water to wine, but I can pull a full open bottle of Coca-Cola out of my sleeve. I guess that's a miracle of sorts. Ever so often, Pastor Radke has a day, he calls it Holy Humor Sunday. Now, we have a lot of things going on in this world, friends. The economy seems to be in worse shape since the Great Depression. Some say it might be growing worse than the Great Depression. Thousands being killed over the Middle East by the Israelis in Palestine's Gaza area. Meanwhile, we're killing many people over in Iraq next door in Afghanistan, and we're bombing them with drone smart bombs in Pakistan, killing people. Meanwhile, Pastor Del Radke, there in the state of Wisconsin, at the Chapel of the Chimes, thinks we need to lighten up a little bit. Have a Holy Humor Sunday. Oh, my. Well, one guy's even putting out a newsletter of humor. The Joyful Newsletter. Includes practical jokes, people drenching each other with water. Well, and there's more, of course. Radke, the Pastor Del Radke there, by the way, that is a Lutheran church. At the end of Holy Humor Sunday, he handed out colorful pinwheels. And he gave this benediction. And now may you know that the glee of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mirth of God and laughter of the Holy Spirit this day. Amen. You know, I Google up church clowns on the internet. I found quite a few clowns. Seems like churches are really going to this stuff. People dressing up like clowns and preaching. Some think it's really humorous to see people dressed like clowns with the floppy shoes and all up there walking around with the Bible in their hand preaching from the Word of God. Meanwhile, in Missouri, Jim Baker's back. Oh, he's got him a new wife now. Tammy Faye's gone on for her reward, whatever that is. But in Branson, Missouri, Jim Baker's up and running again. Got a lot of money rolling in. This guy's pretty effective in getting the money in. His new wife, Lori, doesn't quite have the pizzazz that Tammy Faye did. For one thing, she's not able to cry at the drop of a hat. You know, you got to be able to, if you really want to get people all worked up, you got to have that little, you know, boo-hoo factor. But she doesn't have that, but they say she's pretty good what she does. Well, some visitors came and saw Jim Baker and what he's going on there, got going on Branson. You know, Branson, Missouri is like, you know, number two in country music now, and they have all the big country music playhouses and such there, and about 1 million people visit a year going to these country music playhouses. Well, now they have Jim Baker's playhouse. It's a little like Disneyland, one stunned visitor said. This is according to stlouistoday.com, internet home of St. Louis Post Dispatch newspapers. Now, Jim Baker, the scandalous Jim Baker, homosexual, accused of pedophilia and all kinds of things, not just of weird, grotesque sex, but, well, just about anything. Yes, he's back. He began this in 2003. It's broadcast on some cable news channels now, out of Branson, Missouri. It's a miracle, said one person who visited. It's God's work, said another. And clowns, busy, aren't they? Jim Baker's back. There's another big tent opened up in Branson, Missouri. Now, down in Lakeland, Florida, boy, I'm telling you, the big tent is open wide, and this guy named Todd Bentley is down there. And, man, is he... Let me just tell you a little bit about Todd Bentley. Todd Bentley has tattoos all over his body. He says he learned from the Kansas City Prophets. He learned from a prophet named Bob Jones. Became quite famous among Assembly of God folks. Now, I know a little bit about Bob Jones here. Talk about a clown. He really is a clown. Before we get to Todd Bentley, let's go to his mentor, Bob Jones. Bob Jones, if I recall properly, is the man who had young ladies stripped naked before him to receive a prophetic word from him in private. He once was sent away to a mental asylum, but he said Jesus got him out of it. He teamed up with a guy named Paul Kane, who was another one of these Assembly of God healers, you know, laying hands on people and supposed they could heal them. But Paul Kane was exposed a couple years back as an alcoholic, and not only that, as a homosexual. He'd been telling people for years that the reason he didn't marry was the same reason Catholic priests didn't marry. God told him to stay celibate so he could minister better to people. Unfortunately, he was ministering to young men in a sexual way. Paul Kane, Bob Jones, and now this Todd Bentley comes up. Todd Bentley's a pretty shrewd guy. He's filling up churches in Lakeland, Florida. Thousands come to hear the guy. They're not turned off by his, you know, motorcycle boots. His profane, dirty language. They're not turned off at all. You know, what they might like about this Todd Bentley, this clown down in Lakeland, Florida, is the angels he brings with him. He has a lot of angels. He says he has one angel named Emma that comes in and she sprinkles gold dust on people, invisible gold dust. And if you get sprinkled by Emma, well, you're going to turn out to be rich. A lot of people like to think they're going to end up rich, so they go to Todd Bentley's healing services to be made rich. He has another angel who is a golden eagle called Swift. There's a lot of golden eagles on prophecy sites today, online. A lot of things here going on, aren't there? Well, Todd Bentley is a guy I've been researching a lot. He claims to heal people of deafness. He said he's raised at least two people from the dead, like Lazarus, raised them from the dead. He admits he was a convicted child molester, but illegal drugs, that is. But all that's behind him. Now he's got God. He's ministering to people through God. And tens of thousands of people have come down to hear the guy, and they say he's the most exciting healer since Benny Hinn and Oral Roberts. Now, there were those three women that he had sex with from the congregation. Yeah, that's true. But that's just a little detail nowadays, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Evidently, it is. I mean, his female angel named Emma O has forgiven him, probably Golden Eagle too. So if they forgive this clown, why shouldn't you and I? Now, I want to read to you. I've read before, but I really want you to know the kind of man this guy is. And by the way, here's Charisma Magazine, June 2008. It says, thousands flock to Florida revival meetings. People have traveled across the country to attend services led by Todd Bentley. They just want a touch from God. They think they can get it from Todd Bentley. Now, why do I call him a clown? Am I just a mean old man, Tex Mars? Well, it might have something to do with the way he handles these worship services. You see, he says God tells him sometimes just go over and kick people. Kick them in the butt. Kick them in the back. With his motorcycle boots. And what else can he do but obey God? Said there was an old lady there kneeling at the altar praying, and God's voice came to him and said, Todd, go over there and just kick that old woman in the head. So he said, I gave her the biggest kick I could with my motorcycle boots, and she spiraled over about 15 or 20 feet, knocked her flat out. God told me to do it, so I kicked her in the head. Yeah, that's the kind of God we serve. Somebody sent me a picture of Todd Bentley. Hair all messed up. Looks like his pants about to fall off of him. He's giving the devil sign, El Diablo, with his left hand while he's preaching. Talking about pastors going wild. Nevertheless, when I reported this here on Power of Prophecy some weeks ago, this clown Todd Bentley, woman called me and said, God's going to punish me for that. I was touching God's anointed, Todd Bentley. How dare you, she said. She said, God told us not to judge anybody. So Tex Mars, you're going to hell. You know, it's a little strange to me when people tell me God's going to punish me and I'm going to hell because I'm not supposed to judge. But I always sort of, I have to laugh. That's a little clownish, isn't it? She was judging me. She judged me so harsh, she said God was going to punish me and send me to hell. But then she turned around and said, because we're not supposed to judge. Well, how does she know God's going to send me to hell? Well, she's judging me. I'm trying to figure this out. You know, I mean, these people are double-minded. And doesn't the Bible say that a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways? Yes, it does. Double-mindedness. Thou shalt not judge. Tex, you're going to hell. It doesn't seem to compute, except in the minds of these confused, double-minded people. Well, one of the most famous men in America is a man, the pastor that is a man named Earl Polk. He preaches out in Marietta, Georgia, huge church. The Harvester Church, about 13,000 members at one time. 13,000. Can you imagine? Now, Earl Polk, I don't even know if he had much of an education, but he liked to call himself Archbishop. He was an archbishop, not just a bishop, but this clown called himself Archbishop. He's a little old now. His brother's a preacher, evidently. His son is a preacher. They've had their little problems. I understand that Earl Polk was thrown out of the Church of God denomination after they found him in a hotel room with a woman. Of course, she was only one of many. Here's an article from Associated Press, sort of interesting, came out recently from Decatur, Georgia. It says, the 80-year-old leader of a suburban Atlanta, Georgia megachurch is at the center of a sex scandal of biblical dimensions. He slept with his brother's wife and fathered a child by her. Members of Archbishop Earl Polk's family stood at the pulpit of the Cathedral of the Holy Spirit at Chapel Hill Harvester Church a few Sundays ago and revealed the secret after it was first exposed by a recent court-ordered paternity test. Now, this is an Associated Press story. It goes on to say this was not the first or even the second sex scandal to engulf Polk and the Independent Charismatic Church. But this time he could be in trouble with the law for perjury, for lying under oath about the affair. I am so sorry for the collateral damage it's caused our family and the families hurt by the removing of the veil. He goes on and on. Now it appears the old archbishop there in this huge Atlanta church is in trouble with the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, which are investigating him for possible perjury and false swearing charges stemming from a lawsuit. Now, what was the lawsuit all about? Well, former church employee Mona Brewer complained that Earl Polk had manipulated her into an affair, which went on 14 years, sort of a long affair. According to Miss Mona Brewer, the archbishop, the head clown, as I would call him, of his church, told her that only through sex could she receive salvation. It was her only path to salvation. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, at the court suit, Polk got up on the stand and said that Mona was the only woman he had ever had sex with outside of marriage who was a member of the church. Well, turned out after the paternity test, it wasn't true. Not only was Mona a sex partner for all those years, but his own brother's wife also had sex with him, even had his child. Well, you know, it seems that clowns like perverted sex a lot, doesn't it? Yeah, they do. And now everybody's sort of accepting it. I was listening to Reba Rambo. Now, she's the daughter of a very famous gospel singer who passed away a few years ago, Dottie Rambo. Now, Reba Rambo is her daughter, and she's married to another gospel singer. She's a gospel singer herself. She's married to another gospel singer, Donnie McGuire. I was listening to their worship service. I don't usually do that, but somebody sent me a video of it, and because I always love some of the music of her mother, Dottie Rambo, I decided to listen to it. And she has a church, this Reba Rambo and Donnie McGuire. They're sort of charismatic Assembly of God Pentecostal types. They have a church in Nashville, Tennessee called the River Church. You know, take me to the river. Well, they've been taken somewhere, maybe to the cleaners. I'm not quite sure. But there was old Reba and Donnie McGuire explaining that they just didn't want to have anything to do with people who didn't love gays. And they were saying there on that that they knew a lot of lesbians and homosexuals, and they were just fine with that, and the Lord was happy about it. And turned out that, as I understand it, the Rambos had a manager who was gay. And, well, then it turned out that they're connected with the Open Door Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, a notorious gay church. Then somebody sent me stuff about the Gaithers. I've always liked the Gaithers music, gospel quartet, Bill and Gloria Gaither. But understand now, they've invited all the gays in and said people should quit judging them. Now, the Bible seems to judge homosexuality a whole bunch, but according to Bill Gaither and Mark Lowry, one of his in-house singers there, we're not supposed to judge them. We're just supposed to accept it. By the way, a lot of these gospel music stars and contemporary Christian music stars are coming out of the closet now. One of them was Kirk Talley. Kirk Talley, T-A-L-L-E-Y. Yep, I'm gay, he says. Now, Talley just happened to be the gospel music songwriter of the year.
Oh, my.
Well, they're not the only ones, of course. And by the way, if you want to know what the Bible has to say about gays, well, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, or to James chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. But you already know what it says. And you know what these people really are, don't you? Of course you do. Of course you do. Now, we go from the gays tromping through the churches like a bunch of wild clowns to the gal who now says she's learned through study of the serpent that God is a woman. She was a Southern Baptist, and you know she was invited into all kinds of pulpits in Southern Baptist Church. Her name is Sue Monk Kidd, S-U-E, Monk, M-O-N-K, Kidd, K-I-D-D. Now, according to the reports I've got here about Miss Sue Monk Kidd, she's a very popular writer. She writes novels. She wrote one called The Secret Life of Bees. Sold over 4 million copies. Then she wrote The Mermaid Chair. That sold about 2 million copies. I think The Secret Life of Bees was made into a movie, in fact. Now, she's written some interesting books, and she's started a new Christian program she calls Contemplative Mysticism. Of course, that's really not a new one at all. It's old. But this Sue Monk Kidd sort of surprised everybody because, you know, everybody seemed to be in love with her at all these big Christian book shows and everything. I mean, she was really in the in crowd. Sue Monk Kidd. But she got to flirting, she says, with Catholic, Roman Catholic, mysticism. They call it contemplative spirituality. Miss Kidd was raised in a Southern Baptist congregation in Southwest Georgia. Her grandfather and her father evidently were Baptist deacons. Her grandmother gave devotionals at the Women's Missionary Union. Her mother was also a Sunday school teacher. Her husband was a minister who taught religion. He was chaplain at a Southern Baptist college. She herself says she was very involved. She taught Sunday school. She attended church every Sunday morning. Even went on Sunday evening and Wednesdays. She said she was probably the person least likely to become a feminist, but boy, is she a feminist now. She's a goddess worship. She even has a lot of nice things to say about the serpent. Wonder how many women are just like Sue Monk Kidd. Wonder how many women are following in her footsteps. I'll tell you more about Sue Monk Kidd, best-selling author, former Sunday school teacher, wife of a Baptist minister, when we return. You're listening to Text Mars. We're discussing the clowns. Bring them on, the clowns, the big tent. The evangelical circus is in town, regrettably so. We'll be right back after this brief message. Hey, I'm wondering, do you need a Holy Ghost enema? I really didn't ask that, but Benny Hinn's wife, she does. And she asked that question before a national television audience. And she was co-preacher of a big crusade of Benny Hinn, the Florida, Texas faith healer. Do you need a Holy Ghost enema right up your rear end? It's so disgusting and revolting, but I'm telling you, get my video, The Blind and the Dead, and you will hear Benny Hinn's wife say exactly that. But you'll hear worse. You'll see this holy laughter and what I think are demonic speaking in tongues. Right? Demonic speaking in tongues. Oh, I know the Bible talks about speaking in other languages, but I'm talking about demonic speaking in tongues. The name of the video documentary, you can order it in DVD, is entitled The Blind and the Dead. You'll find out about Benny Hinn smoking a hashish pipe when he went down to visit the Middle East, about one of his top aides dying of a heroin overdose. You'll find out the truth about Paul Crouch and so many of these charismatic Pentecostal Assembly of God leaders, even a few Baptists. I mean, why knock just the Assemblies of God? Because we've talked on this program right now today about Episcopals and Lutherans and Methodists. There are very few people you can find now that are true to the Word of God. And I expose a big mess of them in my video documentary, The Blind and the Dead. And you'll actually see them. It's not just me talking. You'll see them in action. You won't believe what you see. You'll see men crawling on all fours with a dog's collar around their neck and their wife or some other woman leading them on a leash. You'll see women at the pulpit saying, God told me to howl like a wolf. Ow! And then they begin to howl like a wolf, baying at the moon. Would God really tell some woman to get up in church and howl at the moon? Would he tell some man put on a dog collar and be led around on all fours in the church sanctuary? Well, that's what these people are saying. And this kind of silliness is spreading across America. I'm telling you, it's a spectacle. Can you imagine a person really hurt, maybe from a loss in their life? Maybe their husband died, their wife left them. They lost a child in a terrible automobile accident. They've got a loved one laying in a hospital bed, not expected to live. They just won't. They're so hungry for Jesus Christ. And then they go to the local church, and what do they have? Some pastor in a church, a clown's costume. Some dude getting up there and saying, I'm a holy bartender, and laughing deliriously. People laying, rolling around on the floor, screaming like a bunch of banshees. Get this video. You won't believe it. The Blind and the Dead. We have another video that's sort of unbelievable too. It's called Revivals, End Time Revivals Unmasked. End Time Revivals Unmasked. Now, The Blind and the Dead, we're asking $25. End Time Revivals Unmasked, we're asking just $20. Now, that's an interesting video because you'll actually see these people giving hand signs of the devil and worse. You'll see backward masking unmasked. You'll see them say things in tongues, and then we slow down so you can hear what they're actually saying. And they're inviting the devil to come forward. They're inviting the devil to bless the offering. You say, that text, that's impossible. But they're speaking in tongues, and what it really is that they're speaking so fast nobody can understand what they're saying, but you slow it down in slow motion, you can clearly hear the words. They're praising the devil. Can you imagine going to one of these worship services, and the evangelist with this huge crowd of thousands of people, and he's up there praising the devil in secret, speaking in tongues? End Time Revivals Unmasked, just $20. The Blind and the Dead, $25. For either of these videos, please add $4 shipping and handling. Again, End Time Revivals Unmasked, $24 postpaid, or The Blind and the Dead, $29 postpaid. Here's how to get these videos, either one of them or both. Just phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or you can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the United States of America. Or you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. All one word now, powerofprophecy.com, and order these incredible videos. Now let's return to the regular program. We're looking at the clowns in the big tent circus that the church has become. You know, it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Well, a lot of folks are going to say, "Tex, what business is it of yours? Let God handle these things." Really? You shouldn't judge. Who are you to judge? Well, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Cast not your pearls before swine." These people are swines, my friends. But how would you know it unless you judged them? Of course you've got to judge. If your daughter began to date a man and you knew he was a drug abuser, and you knew that he was running around with other women while he claimed to be faithful to your daughter, if you knew that the man was a crook and a con man who simply took money from women, wouldn't you want to tell your daughter to try to save her from the clutches of this evil man? Wouldn't you be judging him? Of course you would. You got to judge people, dear friends. Listen, have you ever been a supervisor or an employer and you had to hire people? Did you judge them, or did you just hire the first person that came in the door? You had to make them fill out an application, didn't you? You had to interview them. You maybe checked out their resume. You checked out job references. Why? Because you had a responsibility. And don't you think spiritual things are more important than financial things? What if I said, "You need to invest some money in the stock market"? And you responded, "Well, what stock should I buy?" Well, don't try to judge the stocks. Just buy a bunch. You'd laugh at me, wouldn't you? It's so stupid to say, "Judge not." What if you said to me, "Tex, I'd like to join a church here in Austin, Texas. What church should I join?" And I said, "Oh, well, I don't know about that. I mean, you don't want me to judge pastors and churches, do you?" "Well, I'm not going to judge." "Well, you go to any church you want to." "Well, there's one pastor down here that says Satan is the same as Jesus." "Well, I wouldn't judge him." "Now, you don't want to judge that man. If he believes Jesus is Satan, that's up to him and God. I don't want to get between him and God. I don't want to judge that man." Sort of reminds me of a lady who called me up some years ago. She says, "We have a young man here in our group who has a real drinking problem. He's an alcoholic. He's a drunk. And he's desperate to become sober. And I asked my pastor what to do, and my pastor said, we'll take him to AA, to a 12-step program. So she said to me, she says, Tex, I call up the local Alcoholics Anonymous 12-step program, talk to a woman there. And she said, sure, he's welcome to come to our meeting. And I said to her, well, I understand y'all at AA, y'all are a Christian organization, because this boy needs Jesus real bad. The woman said to me, oh, we here at AA, we do not judge anybody's religion. We definitely will never tell him about Jesus. We don't believe in telling people what God deserves. So the lady responded back to her and says, you mean AA doesn't tell people to believe in Jesus Christ? That woman at AA said, oh, no. Well, the Christian lady said, well, what if he comes to you and he says, I worship Satan? Well, said the lady from AA, that's up to him. We just say that you should worship God as you understand him. That's one of the 12 steps. that we turn our life over to God as we understand him. Whatever name people want to call him or whoever they wish to serve. And the woman from the Christian church said, well, you don't understand. This boy is an alcoholic and we don't want him to become a Satanist. We want him to serve Christ. Well, then you don't send him to AA because we're non-judgmental. You see, friends, this is the problem. People are not judging things. But the Bible says we are not only to judge, but to exercise righteous judgment. You say, well, Tex, I've never heard of such a thing. Exercising judgment? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Acts chapter 17, verse 31 says that God even has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Did you get that, friends? God is going to judge the whole world in righteousness. Wow. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. This is said to a Christian. Wouldn't you love to hear the Apostle Paul say those words to you? Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. You know, my friends, if you love righteousness and you hate iniquity and you have to judge those things and know what they are and make a decision as to what is sinister and evil and what is good before God, what is righteous, and if you will do that, God will anoint you with an oil of gladness more than anyone else around you. Well, I'm telling you, I love Revelation 15. Verse 3, it talks about the last day's saints. It says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Just and true are thy ways. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 puts it this way. It says, but unto the Son, that's the Son of God, Jesus, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Did you know that God's throne, he inhabits a throne? Oh, yes, he does. And it says in Psalm chapter 89, it says, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Wow. God's throne is the very habitation of justice and what? Judgment. Judgment. I tell you. You know, a lot of people say, well, Tex, do you really think it's important to expose these clowns in the church? The three-ring circus that the church has become? Of course it is. I want to read a little bit more. I talked to you a moment ago about Jesus saying, cast not your pearls before swine. That's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Listen to this. He says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. These are dogs, friends. These are unclean dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Do you understand, friends, if you give your holiness, if you judge these people to be righteous when they're not, you think they'll love me then. They'll appreciate me. No, they won't. They'll take the things of God and trample them under their feet. And then they'll turn around and rend you. They'll bite you. They'll tear you to pieces. Oh, these are fools, all right. Fools for Satan, not fools for Christ. I know I'm going to get a few emails from people. They're going to blast me left and right for this talk. It doesn't bother me. I'm called all kind of names. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, friends, if I don't get at least 10 or 20 emails and letters and maybe even a few phone calls a week bashing me and saying bad things about me, why, I'm beginning to think I'm not serving God. I mean, I live on criticism, harsh criticism. Pour it on, the more the better. I mean, come on. Don't just bash text Mars a little bit. I feel the best when they're really, they got their big cannons out. I mean, they're going at me like World War III. You say, why do you say that, text? Well, I believe in the Bible. What does it say in Luke chapter 6, verse 26? Woe to you when all men speak well of you. That's when you're in big trouble with God, when men start speaking good things. That text Mars, he's so loving. He's so wonderful. He never says anything bad about anybody. I just love that man. Oh, yes, text Mars. He just extends harmony out to Buddhists and Muslims and Jews, and he would never condemn anybody to hell. Oh, I love that text Mars. People speaking good things about me. I'm telling you, friends, I couldn't sleep at night knowing that the whole world loved me. If I was number one on the world's most admired list of men, I'd tremble because I know one thing. I wouldn't be making any list up in heaven. I mean, I'd make a list, all right. It'd be the list of people headed for hell whose names were blotted out of the book of life of the Lamb. I don't want to be blotted out of that book. I want to be somewhere. I don't need to be at the top of that book. I just want to make the grade. I don't know the Lamb's book of life. I don't know how big it is. I don't know how many pages it is. But if I could just be on the last page, maybe the last name or two. In fact, put me as a little footnote. A little... just add it down there in fine, fine print. Like, you know, God just went ahead and put me in as an afterthought. That'd please me. I'd be happy. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for in the same way their fathers spoke of the false prophets. When the false prophets came, they all said, look, what a wonderful thing. Look at those people. They're speaking truth, but they didn't. They spoke lies. They were devils. I'm sure the Pharaoh's magicians, people thought very highly of them. And they could cast their rods down and they would become serpents. What miracles were wrought in the chambers of the palace of the great Pharaoh of Egypt. But then Moses came. And he didn't need magic. He had the supernatural power of God. And those serpents were no match. Now, I want you to understand something, friends. I'm not here to please people in the flesh. I'm not here to say, oh, it's wonderful, all these people are in the flesh, but it's good, it's good. No, it's not good. It's devious, it's sinister, it's insidious. John said it best, John 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can't worship God in the flesh. And that's what these people are trying to do. Now, let's go back to this Sue Monk kid. She's over 6 million books sold. She taught Baptist Sunday school. Her pastor, her husband was a pastor. Her father and grandfather were deacons in the Southern Baptist Church. But she knows so much more than they do. She's so much more cultured. She decided to become a feminist after she left the Southern Baptist fold and started practicing Roman Catholic forms of contemplative spirituality. She started visiting Catholic retreat centers and monasteries. She did all this because she'd been reading books by Thomas Keating and Thomas Merton, John of the Cross, Eckhart, Teilhard de Chardin, Ignatius de Loyola. She was really impressed by all these books by people that I know, friends, as New Agers. They're New Age occultists. Of course they're Roman Catholics, but they're New Age occultists. But Sue Monk Kidd bought into it. Now let me tell you the end of it, of her. Let's look at the end of her. First of all, and I'm reading actually from, well, there's several different sources here, but in the book, The Dance of the Dissident Daughter, that Sue Monk Kidd has written about her experiences, she said she learned to practice Zen Buddhism. She learned about this new form of meditation rather than active prayer. And then she realized that the doctrines in the Bible were wrong. And she said she began to get angry at the Bible because it claimed to be the ultimate authority in her life. She said, I decided to reject that. She says, God cannot be confined between the covers of a book. I no longer believed in that ultimate authority. I believed in the divine voice in my own soul. Mm-hmm. I believed the voice in my belly. The voice in my belly, wrote Sue Monk Kidd, was the voice of the wise old woman. It was the female soul talking. And it challenged the assumption that the Baptist church would get me where I needed to go. I began a journey, a different journey than I'd been raised to go. Wow. My time, my life, my decisions became my own. It was about that time that she rejected God as Father. I knew right then that the patriarchal church that believed that God was the Father was no longer working for me. I needed a power that was feminine, she said. But more than that, she didn't want to just worship even a feminine God. She wanted to be God. So she came to believe in the divinity of man. In every person, she says, is the seat and repository of the inner divine, the God image, the truest part of us. When I encounter another person, I walk as if I have entered upon holy ground. As if God dwells there. Every person she meets, she says, is God. And then she is God. And then she said, I decided to take it a little further. I decided to delve into the worship of the ancient goddesses. She traveled with a group of women to Crete, the island of Crete, near Greece. They met in a cave and sang prayers to the goddess of the dark. Something inside me was calling on the goddess of the dark. Even though I didn't know her name, I began to pray to God as mother. And then she said, finally, I began to realize I don't need to pray to God as mother because I am a goddess myself. Divine feminine love came and wiped out all my puny ideas. I felt myself embraced by goddess. I found God in myself, and I loved her. I loved her fiercely. She embraced herself then as goddess. And then she changed her symbols too. Over the altar in my study, I hung a lovely mirror sculpted in the shape of a crescent moon. It reminded me, she wrote, or writes, to honor the divine feminine presence in myself, the wisdom in my own soul. And she says, you too can be saved by the divine mother presence in you. The whole world can be saved by it. We can become a global family with she in us. This is all from her book, The Dance of the Dissident Daughter. And friends, you won't be surprised to know that Sue Monk Kidd has a daughter herself. And her daughter, she says, has now accepted goddess worship. Oh yes, the power of a mother's influence, either for good or for evil. Well, you say that's terrible, that's horrible. Friends, I'm telling you, these things are no further away than your local Baptist church, Assembly of God church, Pentecostal church, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic. It doesn't matter today. If you can find a good church, well, good for you. Most people can't. And give me just a little while, and I'm not very picky. I can find hideous things in just about every church. It's incredible. I couldn't 20 years ago. No, I really couldn't. You had to be a little picky to find bad things in churches. But now, it's everywhere. Well, here's a new book that's out by a pastor named John Killinger. He was a speaker at a Baptist fellowship, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship's annual conference in Memphis, Tennessee recently. He wrote a new book called The Changing Shape of Our Salvation. Oh, it's changed. He said, you know what? We've been thinking wrong about Jesus. Jesus never conceived of himself as Savior of the world, and he was not God incarnate. So we need to reevaluate everything we know about him. Now, Killinger is pastor of Marble Collegiate Church in New York City. He says Jesus never really said and did many of the things that are written in the Bible. Now, you would have thought that he wouldn't be invited to a big Baptist pastor, Southern Baptist pastors conference, but he was. By the way, at that same conference, they had prayers to Mother God. Sally Burgess, one of the top women leaders at the conference, said she believed that more Southern Baptist women should be ordained to the pastorate. Why? Well, says Miss Burgess, I believe God is good, and she knows what she is doing. Well, had a young man worked at the ministry here for some years. He loved gospel music. I said, who all do you like? He said, well, I like the Hemphills, gospel singers. They're really good. I said, wonderful. Well, I don't know if he likes them now, but Joel Hemphill, the leader of the Hemphill family, he's come out with the same nonsense. Jesus is not God. Here's another guy that's, he's been inducted into the Southern Gospel Music Hall of Fame in 2007. Joel Hemphill, noted singer, songwriter, evangelist, musician, and author. He and his wife, Labriska, formed the Singing Hemphills in the mid-60s. He's written over 350 songs. Many of them have become gospel music classics. He was once invited to the White House for a gospel sing-song when President Jimmy Carter was in office. Well, he's written a new book, To God Be the Glory. Sounds good, but then you read the book and he says Jesus is not God, never claimed to be God. God is immortal. Jesus was not. Jesus did not come in the God family. He came in the human family. He's a man. Oh, boy. Clowns. Clowns all. The circus is in town. Why doesn't Joel Hemphill jump on an elephant and have a big outdoor service? Why doesn't Sue Monk Kidd, get 20 women and form them up into a big 20 mule team? Harness them up, the feminist, for the glory of God, their God, who is none other than Lucifer. Because Lucifer, my friends, is the master of ceremonies at the big tent circus of today's evangelical church. And I say, bring in the clowns. The devil is the master of ceremony, and it's going to be a hot, hot night in town. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy, and my prayer is that you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.